Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
In Metro Detroit, so in the Detroit Local Health Department, which includes the cities of Detroit, Hamtramck, Harper Woods, Highland Park, and the Grosse Pointe, we know that there are on the order of between 11 and 12,000 people living with HIV. And in terms of whether or not this is a diagnosis that people are still receiving, the simple answer is yes. You know, in Michigan, and I'm pulling up the data for you right now, I'm going to send you the HIV Care Continuum report from the state of Michigan. We're really privileged in Michigan that we have excellent data, I have to say. Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is very good. And so in Michigan, every year we diagnose, I'm looking for the number exactly here. This is prevalence data, not incidence data. I can get it for you in just a second. I'm sorry, I have not had the chance to do what I usually do, which is pull this all up for you.
It's all good.
You know, our data got skewed in the pandemic, and so if you look at pre-pandemic data and then post-pandemic data, you see this giant bump in HIV diagnoses. And a lot of that was because there was a big delay in diagnosis, not that people were acquiring HIV at a higher rate during the pandemic, but it's, you know, somewhere around a couple hundred people a year.
I think probably throughout the years, certainly since the 80s and the 90s, you know, HIV and AIDS, the story has changed a lot, and the fate of people mm-hmm. who receive that diagnosis has changed a lot. So how have ARVs been a game changer for people living with HIV or AIDS, and what have been some of the biggest developments in HIV treatment?
Yeah, so if you don't mind, I'll take kind of a long view on this because I think it's really important when
Please
we talk
do.
Both about HIV therapy, HIV treatment, and then also HIV funding, that we really understand where we've been over the last 40 years to understand where we are right now. So when HIV was discovered in the early 80s, there were essentially no treatments. There was treatments for the opportunistic infections that people with advanced HIV or AIDS developed, but there was no treatment for the virus itself. Starting in the late 80s with the discovery that zidovudine or AZT, which was first synthesized here at Wayne State University, was somewhat effective against the virus, we entered what we called the ART era. And then if you ask anybody who was in HIV care where they were in 1996 for the Vancouver conference, they remember. This is an incredibly important moment where, for the first time, we realized that triple therapy using three medications to treat HIV would durably suppress people without the emergence of resistance on therapy. Those early medications were awful. You had to take them multiple times a day. They had horrible side effects, and you had to be nearly letter perfect in taking them for them to continue to work. Beginning in 2006, with the advent of Atripla, we had our first one pill once a day regimen. And science has continued to move this forward since then. So now, if you're newly diagnosed with HIV, I can put you on a one-pill, once-a-day regimen that has almost no side effects, that will work for you nearly 100% of the time. You know, nothing is 100%, but if you have a susceptible virus and you take your medicine, there is a 100% chance that this medicine will work for you indefinitely. And also, we have non-pill options called LAIs, or long-acting injectables, where people don't have to take pills every day. They get injections every other month to treat their HIV.
I mean, what a difference 30 years makes, right?
Truly, this is a result. I want to be very clear. This is the result of massive investment on the part of the federal government. This did not come out of whole cloth. This did not come down from heaven. This was hundreds and thousands of people dedicating their careers, and us as U.S. taxpayers dedicating our resources to doing this drug discovery in partnership with pharmaceutical companies.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's such a thing as ARV-resistant HIV, like you said?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, so there some people are not as fortunate in their treatment response. Does that still happen?
So there's two ways that people have ARV resistance. One is the most common way, which is that for a variety of reasons, they are unable to take their HIV medicines regularly. And so they have subtherapeutic levels of medicine in their body, and the virus is constantly mutating if it's replicating. And so they will develop drug resistance in their own body to medicine that they are not able to take adequately. And that happens for a host of reasons. It can happen because of mental illness. It can happen because people lose insurance. It can happen because, you know, people are struggling with substance use or they're struggling with homelessness. A whole host of things can happen with that. That's the most common way that people develop ART resistance in the modern era. there is a subset of people who were on very early drugs, and they developed resistance because we were giving them medications sequentially, knowing that they would fail. So these are people who've had HIV for 30 more or more years. And so they have drug resistance that we essentially gave them. And then the last group of people is the least common, and that's people who have who, when they acquired HIV, they have transmitted drug resistance. So transmitted drug resistance is exceptionally uncommon. The mutations in the virus that allow the virus to escape these drugs really make the virus less fit to replicate, and so it's very uncommon.
So for people who do develop ART-resistant HIV, and you talk about like people who were diagnosed like 30 years ago, like what's the prognosis like for them? Can they still get back on track? Is it almost, more drugs?
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like?
Almost always, yes. We have many, many drugs in many, many treatment classes. And there's virtually no one that we cannot durably suppress at this point. So I haven't taken, I have, of the hundreds and hundreds of people in our clinic, I think that there is one person where we do not have a fully active regimen for.
Is the damage permanent?
That is such a simple question with such a complex answer.
Of course it is.
And it's so fundamental. So in HIV care, we have excellent data that shows that there is an all-cause mortality benefit to treating people as soon as they are diagnosed. We know very well that getting people on therapy with a suppressed viral load as soon as we can to the time when they acquire their HIV virus is good for them. And I can also tell you that for almost everybody who gets diagnosed, even if they get diagnosed with a low T cell count or a CD4 count with advanced disease, our therapies work and they will experience immune recovery.
That's great to know.
It is always better to not need to recover. It is always better to not sustain the damage in the first place to the immune system, but most people will recover. And so when we think about things, when we think about treatment, our drugs are powerful now. They are really, really good. And we are seeing these recoveries happen more quickly. And so I want to be very clear that the life expectancy for someone diagnosed with HIV in 2025 is a normal life expectancy if we can put them on therapy and keep them on therapy. It is a normal life expectancy.
You love to see a story of a disease that went from absolutely devastating mm-hmm. to total hope.
Yeah. When I am what I consider to be, the second or third generation of people who in HIV work. And my elders, the people who trained me, really were the ones who saw that massive change happen. The change from really knowing that most of the people that you took care of were going to die to almost all of the people that you took care of were going to live, even if it was hard. And now I have the privilege of saying, my job is to move people from the place where their HIV diagnosis, as it is for most people at the time of diagnosis, is this massive thing in their life, helping them move from this is a really big deal to this is one of many facets of my life, and it's not even the most important one.
HIV and AIDS, you always hear them hyphenated. But they're two, I know they're obviously related, and I know how they're related, but how common, you say HIV is 11,000 to 12,000 in Metro Detroit, mm-hmm. but how often does HIV actually become AIDS these days? Or is AIDS not as common of a diagnosis as it used to be?
So those are two, that is a question that has two answers. There is an epidemiologic answer, and then there's a clinical answer. So for epidemiologic purposes, if you ever qualify for an AIDS diagnosis, meaning your T cell or your CD4 cells drop below 200, or you have what's called as an AIDS defining diagnosis, you are always put for counting purposes in the bucket of AIDS, or what we call it more in the modern era, advanced HIV. And you never move from that epidemiologic bucket. Now, clinically, people recover their immune systems all the time. And so, when we're counting so that we can keep track of what's going on in the epidemic, we always count people based on the worst CD4 count they've ever had, because we want to make sure that we're not missing that experience in our counting. From a medical standpoint, I see people recover from advanced HIV all the time and end up with normal CD4 counts.
Go ahead.
When we diagnose people, and I can, you know, pull up where we are in the diagnosis continuum, that data has become harder to find under the Trump administration, but it is findable still. We still see that far too many people are diagnosed with advanced disease. And the likelihood of being diagnosed with advanced disease actually increases with age of diagnosis. So while most people are acquire their HIV and are diagnosed with their HIV in their, you know, 20s and 30s, there is a long tail on that. My personal eldest person that I ever diagnosed with HIV was 85 years old. And so people continue to have sex in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, and their 80s. And because of our biases and our ageism in society, our biases against thinking that older people are sexual people, we tend not to test them. And so they go longer without testing. And so they tend to be diagnosed at a more advanced stage in their disease.
So is the prognosis, I guess I sort of asked this, but for someone who is diagnosed in advanced HIV, is that as hopeful for them as it is for somebody who caught it early?
In terms of our life expectancy data, it is mildly less good. It is always better to have caught it earlier in terms of long-term health for a variety of reasons. But I'm very cautious about saying that, because I have people who have had, you know, CD4 counts in the single digits, who, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Philadelphia, who look like Tom Hanks at the end of that movie, recover all the way to health and vitality, and you would never know that this had happened to them. And so I never want to tell someone it's too late, because that's never true. It's really not true.
It's interesting, too, now you're saying advanced HIV. Have we dropped the term AIDS? Like, is that no longer the correct term to use? Or, like, is it because of the stigma? Or
yeah. Yeah, so we've clinically dropped it. It's still used. It's still an epidemiologic term, meaning when we're talking about the data, it still gets used. And it's still embedded in the names of a lot of service organizations, you know, and so it is both dropped and still present in our lives. But it's not a term that I use in clinic. It's not a term that I use when talking to people.
And again, that is because of the stigma and just because of the sort of trauma associated with it?
Yeah, and people just stop listening to me, because when I were I to go into a room and say, you know, sir, ma'am, we have your numbers back and you have AIDS, they stop listening. You know, I become a Charlie Brown parent. It doesn't matter what I say after that. But if we say, you know, it looks like you have advanced HIV, then they're there when I say, and we're going to put you on medicine and this is going to get better. And so from a communication standpoint, and from really communicating to people what's actually going on, people hear AIDS and they think, you know, people dying in the street like the 80s. But that's not what advanced HIV is today.
Yeah, it's really interesting that as much as the disease has changed, our minds about it haven't as much. And do you see a lot of your patients still facing this sort of like stigma? Is it still this really kind of like dark secret that we carry with us? And what can we do as a society to, I guess, change the narrative?
You know, I think a lot of us, you know, I'm in my 40s. I remember the 90s. And I remember when the message was really around, you know, danger and the danger of sex, the danger. We were really talking about, you know, was Ryan White going to be allowed to eat with the utensils in his middle school, right? That was the argument we were having. I think in general, we've moved on from there. The place that I really see people face stigma is in their interpersonal relationships and in their intimate relationships. And I think that that fear, oh my gosh, I could catch something that I can never get rid of, is very understandable. I think that there are many things that have changed in HIV prevention, particularly in the last 15 years, that I really want people to be aware of because they are the most powerful stigma reducers that we have had in a long time. The first is PrEP. And I want to talk about PrEP with you in some detail because it's changed dramatically in the last year. So PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's medication that a person who does not have to have HIV takes in order to prevent acquiring HIV from an intimate partner, from a sex partner. We've had PrEP since 2010. Classical PrEP is pills by mouth. And for cisgendered women, meaning people who were born and assigned female at birth, women, the only option for PrEP until this year, well, until a couple years ago, was a pill by mouth every single day. I don't know a lot of women who are going to do that, quite frankly. I don't know a lot of men who are going to do that. And PrEP uptake really diverged. And so we had particularly white gay men when we were back in the pills-only era had great PrEP uptake. And black men who have sex with men had much lower PrEP uptake despite having a higher rate of HIV, and that's a function of systemic racism, and I have a whole hour-long talk on that. But for women in particular, and for people of all genders, long-acting injectable PrEP is a game-changer, and in particular, lenacapavir for PrEP, which is approved in the United States in June of this year, is a once-every-6-month subcutaneous injection that was nearly 100% effective in the trials. The brand name is Yeztugo. It is the first PrEP medication that we have had that put women in the first trials, where women became pregnant and had healthy children. Not that the other PrEPs didn't work for pregnant women, but we didn't have the data until years later. And it is game-changing. For most people, changing from having to take a pill every day to getting an injection once every 6 months changes the calculus of how much they're willing to do to prevent HIV.
Sure.
And so pushing this out, you know, I was a 20-year-old idiot like many, many people were. And it was, you know, birth control was a challenge for me to take. I can't imagine doing the calculus of taking a pill to prevent HIV. But would I have gotten a shot every other depot dose? Probably.
Sure.
That's an easy ask of people. And so we've really changed the game in PrEP. And we had a Supreme Court decision that required all Marketplace and Medicaids to cover PrEP. The long-acting injectable can be harder to get covered, but I would encourage people to try. There are many places, including the Detroit STD Clinic, that have PrEP navigators that can help you do that. The second thing is undetectable is untransmittable. This is data that we started working on these studies in 2008 and finally came to fruition in 2017. And that shows that if you are someone with an undetectable viral load, meaning you take your pills every day, and when we run the blood work to see how much virus is in your blood, there isn't any. You cannot transmit HIV to your sexual partners. It's not that it's very, very, very unlikely. No, it's actually zero. And so I was in clinic just yesterday with a woman who's been positive since 2007, who's entered a new relationship, And she came in with her partner in tears, really, because this was the first time she was able to tell a partner, you know, we can be intimate without condoms, and there is no chance that I will give you HIV because I take my medicine and I have been undetectable for years.
Wow.
And that is just a different paradigm. It's Absolutely. Just different. And so I encourage everybody, really and truly, everybody, to talk with their primary care provider about whether or not PrEP is right for them. There is no stigma associated with PrEP. The guidelines from CDC say that every sexually active American should have a conversation with their primary care provider about whether or not PrEP is right for them. Consider whether a long-acting injectable is right for you. And then as you're out on the dating market, as you're thinking about someone, getting into a relationship with someone, talk about this. Be open to it. Because the greatest source of stigma that people with HIV face is in those new relationships. And the data are very, very, very explicitly clear. We don't take this casually at all, those of us who are in the business of HIV care and prevention. If you are intimate, if you have sex, any kind of sex, with someone who has a durably suppressed viral load, there is a 0% chance, there is no chance that you will acquire HIV from that person.
Like, what a revelation in the medical community.
And it's amazing.
And for people living with the disease.
And can I just say again?
Absolutely.
These studies were done with money from the federal government. HIV for medical care has been, in some ways, equivalent to the space race. We have learned more about the immune system, about cancer care, about chronic disease management from HIV care than nearly anything else. It's impacted cancer care. It's impacted how we care for people with diabetes. It's impacted how we think about prevention. And all of that was because the federal government has had a 40-year commitment to people with HIV. In the 80s, it was fought for hard over significant resistance from the Reagan administration. But we have seen massive investment on the research and the care front from the federal government over the last 30 years. And this is the fruits of that. You know, if we can get you into care in Detroit, 90% of people in care are virally suppressed, roughly. It's just under 90%. Those people cannot go on to give HIV to anybody else, no matter what they do. We have therapy for HIV that will give people a normal lifespan. All of that really and truly comes about because advocates fought for and won funding from the federal government. I am the head of the Safety Net Clinic for the people of Detroit. We receive federal funding through Ryan White funds, all of the parts. It's multi-part. We would cease to exist, and the over 2,000 people in our care would no longer have a place to go if that federal funding was cut. Currently, we are looking at a House appropriations bill from the president that would cut direct care to clinics like mine and also cut the funding to the organizations that train HIV clinicians nationwide. Were that to go through, we would see a complete reversal of the success that we have had over the last 30 years. Remember, all of this success is contingent upon people being able to access and maintain their health care.
Right.
And if we lose, in particular, Ryan White funding, which is incredibly cost effective in terms of how it helps people not transmit HIV, decreasing new diagnoses, decreasing cost to insurers, all of that, we will see a return to explosive growth of HIV. My goal and the goal of everybody I know in HIV work is that we work ourselves out of a job. I do not need that kind of job security.
Yeah, no, and to think of sliding back 40 years of progress is terrifying.
It's terrifying, and it's optional. It is not required. The federal government, the federal budget will not be balanced even if we cut all of this. This is not how it will be more expensive to all of us if we cut this, because people who don't have controlled HIV go on to give HIV to other people, and their medical care becomes more expensive.
Is a lot of the treatment provided by the federal government through Medicaid, Medicare, or...
It's a constellation of funding.
Okay.
And so here in Michigan, we're a Medicaid expansion state. And so everybody that walks through the door, we make sure that they have all the insurance they're eligible for. Ryan White funding is grant funding from the federal government that comes through the city, the state, and then directly to our clinic. So three ways it comes to us: through the city, through the state, and directly to our clinic. What that funding allows us to do is provide care that is uninsured by people's insurance or underinsured by people's insurance, which is how we're able to keep the lights on, basically. If I had to fund our clinic based on what we were able to charge insurance alone and what insurance was willing to pay for alone, first of all, people would have massive gaps in their care, because everybody knows that keeping jobs through insurance in this economy, keeping all of your paperwork up with Medicaid is incredibly complicated. And people drop in and out all the time, often through no fault of their own. And also, to care for people with HIV is more expensive than to care for people who have hypertension. The medications cost more, the copays are higher, and the intervals of care are often shorter, requiring more care and more wraparound services because of everything that we've talked about with stigma and everything else. And so for me to be able to have the success that I have in having almost 90% viral load suppression, meaning almost 90% of people who are in care are unable to transmit HIV, will have a normal lifespan, requires additional funding. And then if we talk about the need to get the people who are not in care back in care, that requires even more intensive services. And the only way to fund that right now is through government funding. There is no private insurance, there is no private foundation that can make up for that kind of loss.
Right. The 89%, you say, it's not that they become virally suppressed and they can simply stop taking their drugs, right? It is a lifelong condition that they still have to manage. Is that correct?
Yes. Absolutely, yes, yes. And one of the most dangerous things that you can do, to return to our conversation about resistance, is pull people on and off their medication. Because that's how resistance develops, is people who go on and off.
And then it becomes much harder to treat.
It becomes harder to treat. It becomes harder to suppress. It's more expensive. It's all the bad things.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card. They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.